Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. How are you, Ilan?
Good. So I understand that you are packing and packing. You are moving to Windsor.
We're packing and packing and packing and packing and non-stop packing.
Yeah.
But yes, thank God. You know, we're finally making the move. You know, we've been commuting all the time back and forth for the last 3 years, and we decided that now is the time to move, be permanent in Windsor, and through that, long-term goals, and hopefully we will do a lot of different programs and that type of, those are our goals, so it'll be easier for us to do that when we're in the city than when we're not in the city.
Yeah, and so. It's good to have you here, and you know, you're going to change the number of the Jewish population in Windsor.
God willing, with everyone's help, everyone is together and everyone works on the same goal. That's how we're going. It's not a one-man job. It's everyone involved in it, and I think that's how we're going to be able to advance and rejuvenate our Jewish life in Windsor.
That's great. And this Parashat Bo, they talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. I'm sure that you leaving the States is not like Yetziat Mitzrayim, but that's a move too.
Yes, that's the sacrifice that we're, because we see in our vision, my wife and myself, that there's so much that is a potential in Windsor to be able. It's not a dead place. I don't believe any of those people that say that it's a dead place. It's a very lively place, and it's up to us to rejuvenate it. And we have to just be optimistic instead of pessimistic, and it will be beautiful.
That's it.
And like you said, it's Yetziat Mitzrayim. They're one of the leaving, when the Jews left Egypt. We're going to leave this idea, this cynical view of that Windsor is forgotten about, and we're going to bring it back to life. We're going to bring it back, you know, we're going to make a beautiful dwelling place for God to find Windsor. This is his home.
Yeah.
So that's but very interesting. This Torah portion, we see that it talks about, you know, the last three of the 10 plagues that were brought on Egypt: locust, darkness, and death of the firstborn.
Yeah.
And obviously then the Jews are going to go out of Egypt, and God commands that the first mitzvah, the first man, is going to be given to the Jewish people, was to establish a calendar based on the monthly rebirth of the moon, and they were then instructed to bring a Passover offering, the Paschal lamb, and obviously when the death of the firstborn happened, it finally really breaks Pharaoh's resistance, and he literally tells the Jews, get out, leave now, don't stay here any longer, we don't want you, get out. But on one of the plays, number 9, you know, we think, you know, sometimes we get lucky or we don't get lucky, you know, we get darknesses and all of a sudden the lights go out and we have blackouts. But imagine in Egypt, in the 9th plague, they had this great blackout, and it says in the Pasuk says that there was thick darkness over the entire land of Egypt for 3 days.
Yeah.
No man could see his brother, nor could any person even rise from his place for 3 days. And by the children of Israel, there was light in all of their dwellings. They lived in Goshen, down the road. There was light. Everything was great. And according to the commentaries, it was not merely an absence of light, but there was a tangible fog, and then that fog got worse with time. The first 3 days, they could not see. The next 3 days, they could not even move. However, miraculously, if you think about it, the Jewish neighborhood, not too far away, had light.
Yeah.
And this verse that says that the children of Israel, there was light in their dwellings, prompted a very, very saintly rabbi, to offer a very beautiful interpretation. And he says that every Jew is a ray of light. It only depends on his or her dwellings. In other words, what he was trying to bring out from this is that the environment in which Jews find themselves may sometimes cast a shadow over their spirituality, and there is, in no way does this distract them from the godly light inside every single Jew. Because not every environment is conducive to the light. Sometimes a Jew may be, may be negatively affected by his surroundings, but really inside him, every single Jew is a ray of light. And it doesn't, he could try and cover it up. He could try and blame that his surroundings is making him do this and is making him do that. But really, deep down, he still is a ray of light. Because every Jew is a ray of light. And I think also, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, do you believe in God? That's a beautiful statement. Yeah, I believe in God. That's great. But that's not enough. We have to believe in Jews too. That we shouldn't be cynical even about a Jew that is cynical. In other words, what are we judging that person? That it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
However, you know, excuse me.
It's okay.
Sometimes you find, you know, let's say for example, I'll tell you, a person comes to synagogue to say Kaddish after losing someone.
Yeah.
And he never normally comes to shul, never. And all the regulars in the shul sometimes have their little private discussions. We'll see if this person is going to come back after he finishes his 7 days of mourning, or after his 30 days, or after a year, or his mourning period. And a lot of people are very cynical, saying, well, maybe he is, he's not going to come back, you know, because they look at the past experiences of people. And, you know, there's a famous quote that used to go around in the shtetl, in the older generations, that the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, feeds the synagogues. You know, that it's because someone has passed away, the people have to come to shul to say Kaddish. Otherwise, you never see them.
Yeah.
However, it's so important, and I truly believe that it's so important for us to never give up on any Jew. And I think it's important for, if this is what happens in the shul, that people come and say they're very cynical about it, it's up to us to be able to tell them, we can't give up on someone. Let's make him have a good experience that maybe afterwards he will come. And we do get sometimes a lot of pleasantly surprised, some surprises that a person does come back to shul even after his mourning period is finished. Why? Because he had a good experience. And the people that were cynical about him were not. Now, also, for me, or for any leader, or for any rabbi, for any president, whatever it may be, it's hard sometimes, you know, you have to constantly remind yourself that we should never be cynical of any Jew. And I remember a colleague of mine would tell me once that he had a story that he was invited to a house. They were going to watch a documentary on a new drama documentary that was coming out on the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And which happens to be that this week, on Friday, is International Holocaust Memorial Day.
Exactly.
Which is something that we should all take to heart and remember those that died, not only because they were in a bad place in the wrong time, but they died because they were Jewish, nothing else. And so they were at this person's house watching this documentary, and they wanted to have a little bit of a break. So they decided during the break they're going to have a chance to pray mincha, the afternoon service. And among the people that were there was the uncle of the person that was hosting this video. And he was a very, very well-known, successful diamond merchant. And also he was an avowed atheist. So my colleague was telling me, and this other rabbi, that he wasn't sure what to do. Should he offer him a sitter, a prayer book? Maybe not. You know, would he consider this as a provocation, and maybe he's going to get upset?
Yeah.
So he wasn't sure what to do. He decided not to do anything. And later, when he looked around, you know, the room, and he saw that he wasn't there. So the next day, he spoke to the niece, and she confirmed what had happened, that he was upset that he was not invited to join the prayers. And he said, am I not a Jew as well? So he was justifiably hurt. And it took a long time for this rabbi to be able to rectify things and to assure him that he still believed that he was a Jew as much as he was. And I think it's so important that the lesson that we can learn is that we should never, ever write off a single Jew. Never. We can never be cynical about a person. Every Jew is a ray of light. All we need to do is to be able to help and make the environment of this person, or of the community, or of the synagogue, to be a little more conducive. That the light, it will be an inherent light that can shine everywhere. And if we're able to do that, we're able to make people feel that even though they might not be practicing Judaism, but they feel proud that they're Jewish. They feel proud to be part of the community. And that's our job. We don't just write off people. It's up to us to be able to bring people in and to be able to show that every Jew has a ray of light. And I thought, from that small little plague, it's such an incredible lesson that we can learn in our day-to-day life.
That's nice. So, Rabbi, services at Sharei Tzedek, the same?
Yeah, 6 o'clock Friday evening and Shabbat morning, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., followed by a Kiddush and L'chaim every week.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, Rabbi, I wish you easy move.
Thank you. Thank you, and hopefully we'll be unpacked and everything ready, and we will talk next week, God willing, but this time we will talk from Windsor.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Have a great week.
You too.